So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.
The second is, listen, everybody gets a trophy. So there's a lot of platforms out there that are, hey, if you show up, guess what? You're going to get X, Y, or Z. You're going to get a reward. You're going to get a certificate.
If you fill out your profile, you get a trophy.
Just candy show bar. I want a candy bar. Yeah. Actually.
Don't they give you points? I don't know if they still do this on the SATs just for writing your name.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the premier sales podcast on the planet Earth. I am Jeffrey Gittimer. I authored The Little Red Book of Selling.
I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute, and this is Sell or Die.
It sure is, and I want to welcome everybody from all around the world. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of you that are listening, downloading, transferring. I think we should start out right now today with a five-star review.
All right, let's do it, Jeffrey. Doug Walls writes, "This is the red meat and potatoes of sales training. Not only do Jeffrey and Jennifer bring a full course meal for us to feast and grow on, they have access and a large enough platform to attract other high-level sales professionals who add so much value to the feast before you. As with any great meal, it's always better when shared with friends. The style in which Jeffrey and Jennifer serve up this meal makes you feel like you're with the best of friends." Oh, man. First of all, I'm hungry.
I know. First of all, I get my steak blackened and with mushrooms on the side.
Yeah, but in Paris, you don't get the sauce on it, and it's all about
the sauce. I don't like the sauce, yeah. I'm a no-sauce guy. Doug, are you saucy?
I'm a no-sauce guy. Yeah. What blackened? Do you mean well done?
No, gets it like peppered.
Spicied.
Peppered.
Okay, but how do you get the steak done?
Medium.
Medium rare.
Medium to medium rare.
All right.
Is that all right?
I once told a waiter to give it to me as rare as legally allowed in the state of North Carolina.
That's pretty cool. I don't like the steak to be raw.
If you go to Paris, you can have it raw.
Oh my God.
Like real raw.
Yeah, they love it.
It's real good.
They grind it up and serve it as tartare.
It's so good, and they put an egg on top. Oh man, it's delicious. Anyway,
horrible.
Doug, thank you for that review. That was awesome.
Yep.
We love reading your reviews, and do you know what? Your reviews on iTunes actually help us secure even better guests. So please, if you're a diehard, give us a five-star review so that we can get the next best guest on our show.
I will guarantee you that today's guest is going to get a lot of five stars. His name is Sam Cayucci. He is the founder and the chief executive of One Huddle, a gamification company that will knock your socks off. We're gamifying our stuff, and I would challenge you, if you're looking to learn a little bit better, then it's easier to learn and repeat with the game. But
yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that training has to be boring, but
yeah, I love going into a training room and a trainer says, "We have a lot of stuff to go over today." Like, I want to kick that guy in the groin.
So,
but I want to talk about, I'd like to talk about, if you would, how we met Sam.
Let's do it.
So the key preamble to today's Sell or Die episode is networking.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell people you met him in the ladies' room.
No, I did not.
Okay.
He was putting up his number for a mediocre time call. but the reality of it is we went to this event.
You spoke at it.
Oh, yeah.
You were a speaker at the Sales Hacker event in New York City.
Right.
And we were walking around,
and they were one
to
of the exhibitors.
On the floor. Yep.
And Roger came running over.
He knew you.
Yeah, he knew me from somewhere, and said he was a fan of mine. Da da da, and then talked about a little bit about what he did, gamification. Mm-hmm. And we were literally in the market for gamification at that time. And so he drug his CEO over, Sam, to meet us.
Yeah. The cool thing, though, was, didn't you feel, I felt this, like an immediate connection to Roger? Like, he was a personable guy. He wasn't just like a super fan, which is cool always. But
no, he was a real guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And he was smart. And I wanted to know more about what he was doing because he made it sound so compelling.
So they invite us to lunch at a place around the corner. And we begin to network, literally network, by talking about what else we did in the world. And it turns out that Sam used to be in the fitness industry, and that's how he got to where he was growing. Mm-hmm. And he was best of friends with my buddy, Martin Rooney.
So crazy.
We have Martin Rooney. We called Martin on the spot from the table. And that brought the connection so much closer and so much tighter that it became evident that we were going to do business together. Well, it wasn't an option.
It was this immediate, Martin trusts you. Martin's done business with you. So
therefore,
now we love Martin and trust Martin, so we trust you too.
Yeah, it was a third party networking conglomeration of it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked because we were intense about meeting them and learning about them, asked the right questions of them, you know, where did you grow up kind of questions. And he grows up in North Jersey, which...
Mm-hmm. I grew up.
Yeah, but he's not a bullshit Giants fan. He's an Eagles fan. So I immediately connected with him, and it became camaraderie, not simply an acquaintance.
Diehards, if you're in the Facebook group, I'd love for you to post in there if you can find an episode where we haven't mentioned the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty tough.
We double, triple dare you. By the way, for those of you who don't know the Eagles, they won the Super Bowl this past year.
And for those of you who don't know about our Facebook group, it's just the Sell or Die official Facebook group, and you can come check us out.
Yeah, just go to Facebook.com and search Sell or Die, and it pops right up. I'd also love to hear from the Sell or Die Hards if they have ever played a game to learn something, because it's not just sales training. I'm learning Italian right now using an app. That is essentially a game. My wife and I are both doing it, and we compete with each other to get more points. And, you know, it's just fun learning.
Wait, you're learning Italian?
I love it. Doug brings in something personal because you're like, wait, what?
Are you thinking about going to Tuscany or something? Or you're drinking more Valpolicella?
No, listen, I took 4 semesters of Italian in college.
Oh.
Didn't learn a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now I'm going back and saying, no, I need to do this. I think it's 30 years old.
Yeah.
I decided I'm going to finish the books I didn't finish and finish taking the language that I didn't finish.
This is awesome, Doug.
That's so nice. You're 30. I have underwear that just celebrated their 30th anniversary.
What are they finishing?
they speak French.
They're ready. Oh, man.
Oui, oui.
You're right. Oui, oui. Wow. That's really cool, Doug.
Yeah, that's great. I'm happy. Has Katie ever taken Italian, or is this her first shot?
This is her first shot. But the point is, we are doing this in a game-like way, and there's an app,
something
you can do on your browser, and it's fun.
Who's winning?
Doug has 4 semesters.
I think she's definitely winning right now.
Oh.
And I have the 4 semesters, so that should tell you how much I paid attention in college.
Yeah, when there about the no same games. As me.
Jeffrey, we should compete.
Yeah,
we should learn French.
Oh, yeah,
it's
let's
time.
Do it. If there's a French game, find it, and I'll compete with it.
All right, Doug, you'll have to look us up.
Did they have the Italian game in French?
Yes.
Well,
there you go, Diehard. So if you want to learn better English, you might want to go online and pick a game of grammar, because your grammar probably sucks.
But it's so cool. He's doing that for fun.
Yeah.
And he's going to walk away with all this new knowledge.
He's doing it for fun, and he's not reading a book about it. He's playing a game about it. And everything that we're going to be doing will be gamified.
Right. So here's what Sam's going to talk about today. He's going to be talking about the belief that the future of training will be through gamification, which we just proved two seconds ago. Oh, yeah. And he actually believes that learning can be fun, which is cool.
It's totally fun. And we've proved that in the little gold book of Yes Attitude game. It had hundreds of thousands of plays,
mm-hmm.
and no one complained.
No, everyone loved it. They were raving about it. And he also believes that game training needs to be customized for the individual or for the industry. So it's not just some off-the-shelf thing that you get, but it's really something that you can relate to that's going to help you specifically. So
let the games begin. Here's the great New Jerseyite, Sam Cayucci. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and all of you diehards out there, we have a return guest.
Woo!
And we rarely have a return guest because we just rarely have a return guest. We try
I
to
have
get
to be really, really oh, good damn to good. Come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And from New Jersey, above exit 10.
Yep.
And once you're above exit 10, you automatically get the New Jersey Turnpike badge, don't you?
It's the real New Jersey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so,
no, sorry, I care to disagree, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm
and little known facts.
Everyone has the real New Jersey. We're from.
I'm
New
from Jersey. Okay.
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. And
what's that, Doug?
Little known fact: if you're on this show 5 times, you get the Jeb Blunt smoking jacket.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. He's our 5-timer.
He's our 5-timer.
Wow.
Cool. So
that
Sam
is pretty cool.
Sam is only on twice now, but you want to give us your credentials, sir?
Great. Yeah. Sam Cayucci. 3rd time here. We started a company called One Huddle. We are a game-based training platform trying to make training suck less.
Right.
There
exactly.
You go.
Yeah.
Be more fun and engaging.
Actually,
you got it.
They have morphed into sucking less to really liking more.
But Sam's the real deal. I mean, you just raised capital. Your company's going places. He has 16 developers. This is not like a small little hole-in-the-wall company. Sam's running a major operation.
Right. He pays a lot of rent.
Yeah. No, that's true. In Jersey.
Exactly. But you have offices in New York City and other places around the world.
Yep. We're in New York. We, like Jen just said, we just raised capital. Been doing this for 2 years, and a lot of it started just from being a seller and sitting through my fair share of trying to get trained up and ready to work and hiring and the struggle that it takes to get people ready to sell.
I thought it started when you bought us lunch in Manhattan after we went to that.
Everything starts with lunch with Jeffrey.
Oh, I remember that day.
That was a great day.
Yeah, that was great.
So this is the challenge that we have for you diehards. Are you playing a game at training, or are you going to blanking training? Because many times in today's world, training takes on that first name, and it's not positive. It's something where you're taking me out of the field, you're ruining my day or my week. Why do I need this training? I'm already making my $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. What? You know, and all of a sudden a game comes along and it becomes a great alternative, and you're not going to eliminate what they have because they're just not going to just stop on the dime. Is it correct?
Correct. Yep.
But you have an alternative function, and it's proving to be more valuable than the classroom.
Training. The one thing that we always talk about is training is not an either or, it's an and. So mm-hmm. for companies that today are always looking for that one thing that's going to solve all of their training problems, the reality is there is no one software. No, there is no one solution. And just like exercise, if you go to the gym, you got to do a bunch of different things to build a well-rounded physique or fitness profile. If you are
Jeffrey is flexing his muscle right now.
Oh, you couldn't see that.
For those of you who cannot see him.
Sorry.
But if you're in training and you're trying to get an employee ready, they have to do a bunch of different things.
Right.
And I think the one thing that the HR learning space sometimes forgets, I don't think it's on purpose, but sometimes we just don't stop and think because we move so fast. You have a workforce that's changing, that's different, that has different skill gaps, different social skill gaps.
Different expectations.
They respond to different things. So with those experiences, what we should be thinking about as leaders in training, development, just as leaders in general is, how do we leverage that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've yet to find that. Now, who wrote the rule that learning has to be serious?
Or slow.
I don't know.
Whoever said it has to be this way, you have to read the manual mm-hmm. first. Who wrote that? So, you know, I think for us, we sat back
and clearly weren't trained.
Yeah. or you know what it is? They do what everybody else, they do to right. onto others what was done to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't stop and think what should be, what mm-hmm. should happen.
Let me throw this at you just as a thought process. And if you're out there as a diehard and you are a sales leader, or you are an HR person, of which we have thousands of those people listening to the podcast, you may look at a training module or a training platform or a training program and go, wow, this is really good. But you don't ask yourself the question, is this transferable to my people? And how are they going to receive this? Instead of saying, I'm going to make this mandatory, why don't you just make it fun?
Right. Make it something people want to do.
Right.
Not have to.
Exactly.
I was at a conference a few months ago, and you won't find this stat anywhere online, but I was at a learning conference, and one of the people that got up on stage was a chief learning officer from a pretty well-respected Fortune 500 company and made the comment that only about, and this was an internal survey they did, only about 8% of chief learning officers are confident that what they're doing is making an actual impact.
Oh, man.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, man.
On
That's
training.
Scary.
We can imagine.
Wow, you don't want to name that company.
Oh, man.
But what does it rhyme with?
Voight.
Got it. And look, when you have that as a responsibility, you if you're in HR, you're not responsible to make sure that their healthcare benefits are you're there to make sure that they are the best person they possibly can be, the most informed person they possibly can be, and the best representative of your company when they're out talking to other people, regardless of what their job is, if they're on the phone or if they're face-to-face or they're in the shipping department or the service department. They have to transfer your image or what you feel is your image. And we have found that by using the game metaphor or the game training process rather than the classroom process, it goes faster. It's more fun. People use it, and they actually talk about it.
Yep. And if you were to go back 3 to 5 years ago when I started the company and I was kind of thinking about the concept of using games mm-hmm. and using gaming mechanics and points and badges and leaderboards, I still remember the guy who told me, you can't call it a game. Nobody will take it serious, right? I could see them today on the street. You know,
exactly.
Comments. You know, but the reality is not all games – are effective at actually making you better. The companies are all over the place trying to, you know, put a spin on what they're doing it and call it fun or throw points on it or badges on it or leaderboards on it. But to your point, training should get you in a position where you can do the right thing, the right way, the right time, all the time. It's all about memory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't remember what you learned, you never learned it. And if managers thought about that when they – thought about upskilling or onboarding or deploying new training, you know, can you recall the information that you were taught?
So I have a couple questions about what you just said. One is you mentioned some games don't work for training.
Yep.
What kinds of games aren't good for training?
I would say that there's two types of things that we see popping up that disguise themselves as a game, but they aren't.
Okay.
There are a lot of platforms that are trying to see the cool thing about gamification is what it should do is motivate you to take an action. And if you take that action, you might earn a reward, a payoff, point, badge, leaderboard. And the points you earn are reflective of you getting better at something. So, you know, if I say to a sales rep, and there's plugins and extensions on Salesforce, for example, that say if you make 100 phone calls, you're going to get
X
badge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't make me better at
no.
making those calls. You're the expert
right.
on that end, right?
Right.
It just
says that you're pretty good at finding your way around the system.
Or you can dial a phone.
You can keep dialing.
Yeah.
Right.
So it motivates you to take an action that doesn't necessarily reflect that you're better at it. You know, that's kind of one big thing that's happening. The second is, listen, everybody gets a trophy. So there's a lot of platforms out there that are, hey, if you show up, guess what? You're going to get X, Y, or Z. You're going to get a reward. You're going to get a certificate.
So if you fill out your profile, you get a trophy.
Just
candy
show up.
Bar. I want a candy bar, yeah. Actually.
Don't they give you points? I don't know if they still do this on the SATs just for writing your name.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's a little nuts.
That's a good one.
The most dangerous part of a game, or here's the one thing. The average millennial will have spent over 10,000 hours on a game platform.
So they're game experts.
Before they hit 21.
Wow.
So
oh
the reality
God.
Is you grew up
wow.
in a world.
Wait a minute. Gabrielle's 9 and she's already there.
Yeah. Well, not even talking about the next group, right?
Yeah.
Generation Z. And this
yeah.
is something we say. That's the next
group. But Gen
group.
Z wants to earn money. Gen X, or the millennials want to hand it to them.
I disagree. We will not have that fight right now, but millennials want to earn money too.
They want to earn it a hell of a lot easier than my Gabrielle's.
There
already,
are millennials that work their asses off.
Right. Name yep. five.
I can. Okay.
But here's the flip side of the coin with games, because everybody thinks gamification is all positive. Playing a lot of games, and I played a lot of games growing up, mm-hmm. the most dangerous part of a game platform or a game console isn't the play button. It's the reset button. How many people play games and when they don't get the outcome they want, they don't win the level they want, they lose the game. You know what they do?
Play it again.
They buy $2 right. worth of 10,000 more lives.
Right.
They start over again.
It's Angry Birds times 100.
Yeah.
But let me just throw this at you, though, and I think this is worth understanding what the process of a gamification means to a learner. If you go to a classroom to get trained on a new product or a new sales technique, you have 1x as your time of training, and then you leave. If you, there's a game for that product training or that sales training, you can have unlimited x. You can play the game till you're blue in the face, and that's what creates the transference of the knowledge. Repetition leads to mastery. When you leave that classroom for one time, you are not a master. You may have some new information, and you may say, well, I got to try this. But the bottom line is, it's bullshit till you master it.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
So did you have a favorite game growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, favorite game. I played any football game. So I remember Joe Montana Sports Talk football, and then I played Madden, and I was a big fan of football games.
Cool.
And it was, you know, it was.
And
I
did
think,
you got rewards and badges and stuff? I'm it, just like, was this modeled after stuff you did growing up?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that from a competitive perspective, right?
Okay.
We always played games for the community of it. And, you know, when I started to kind of become, you know, professional, I started doing sales and talk about a field that is naturally competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a leaderboard, right? You might have a physical leaderboard. Now you have a digital leaderboard and software. Then I was always thinking about how do we make competition something that as you competed, you got better at your job. And
right.
that was really what was the first step for me. I actually remember when I thought about, I still have the napkin somewhere, right? The napkin with the concept of the game.
The back of the napkin.
Way
Let's
to go.
Just be clear here.
And the whole notion was, how do you get people to compete against each other? And as they compete against each other, they're actually getting better at work. And I use the example all the time that a great game, a great learning game has you learning. You don't even realize it's happening.
Right.
You ever
mm-hmm.
played Duolingo?
That's why the guy will say, I didn't learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, he's mastered it. Okay, so let me, diehards, let me give you a personal insight. This is an iPhone. For those of you who don't have one, they have them at the store now. And this is Word cookies. And this is Play. And I'm out of Play. I've played every single game.
He's not, because he doesn't pay.
Right, I don't have to pay for it because I win. I'm good at it. And so I'm like 40,000 points ahead of the thing. So if I go to,
and you're talking about it,
right? I'm at 40,000 key points. It only costs 25 points to get another letter. So no. I don't get letters. I just get more
you
points.
Get letters,
but
for
the
days.
Bottom line is, I have played this game all the way to the edge, and I'm older than you for the most part. But the game has helped me think faster and sort out words about what I can do, and because I'm a wordsmith.
So why don't you delete it now? So that's a question for you. Why don't you delete
Does
it?
Does a cat have an ass?
For I'm the not, next no, one to come out. He emails yeah. them like every week. Asking
right. Like, when's
when
a new one? When's a new one? When's a new one?
And how long would it take before you deleted it, though?
Never.
So that's a powerful point to gamification, though.
Right.
You have invested.
Right.
So one of the things that
I haven't played Angry Birds in a while, but I'm not deleting it.
Right.
Because I know there'll be new stuff when I want to go back and play again.
But what do you get better at when you play Angry Birds?
Jack.
Angry Birds.
Okay. Yeah, just curious there.
But it's like, you bastard, I'm getting you. I'm going to... What do you mean I can't get that? What do you mean I can't get that?
So, Sam, what are the dynamics that are working that keep him coming back to the game?
I think any great game... And I think the cool thing about gamification is, if you're a sales manager out there, you can take some of these concepts and apply them to not just training, but a sales contest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a leadership contest, your onboarding process, your personal development program for your employees.
Right.
You know, you need, in any game environment to work, you need some type of reward. Rewards are critical. I think one of the problems with companies is they struggle with first designing a great reward program, then actually delivering on the reward program.
Yep.
But games give you the opportunity to have a payoff. The second thing games give you, if they're designed well, are levels. There is a journey you are going through. As you go through this journey, you are seeing, you might not see yourself getting better, but you know that as you're playing, you are moving up in a process. Right?
On word cookie, yeah. I'm at level 12 out of a possible level 14. I will be at level 14 within a week.
Yep.
It's guaranteed. And then I'll wait for level 15.
Exactly.
But the bottom line is, the reward system is just like, it's okay, I achieved that goal, but I'm getting better without realizing I'm getting that much better.
Yep.
I'm faster at it. It keeps me sharp as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Jen and I will play it together, and sometimes she outdoes me, and sometimes she goes, "Well, good word."
True story.
But the bottom line is, it's fun. I don't have to play.
Right.
I'm playing because I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to make it personal for just a minute. We've gamified the Little Red Book of Selling and the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude. Those games have had thousands of plays, and the people who play them, some people have woken up at midnight, 12:01, to play three games to get a perfect score so that the person they're competing against wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning and they go, "Oh, shit, I hate that guy." And just to go, pie in the face.
Yep.
Game creates competition, and people want to win.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a step back. When you started your company, games were not as widely accepted, and I don't know if they're widely accepted today, but they were less accepted a couple of years ago. So it seems like to me you would have had to make the double sale, as I call it. First, the sale of, here's why you need gamification in your company.
Right, you have to literally sell the person on the concept that they didn't think was going to work anyway.
Right, and now when they're bought in, then you can go ahead and pitch your product. What was that like? And what, we have a lot of diehards out there with innovative products who are at the forefront and having to do the same thing. What do you recommend to them?
Yeah, we had to focus our whole pitch. I mean, we still have, I think we're on probably version 18 of our demo deck over mm-hmm. just 2 years, right?
Wow.
It's always constantly evolving. But the one thing that stayed true is if you're creating a product and it's new to the market and we're creating a product that is counter to maybe the way a lot of other people have done something.
No, it's counter to the way everyone has done something.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work your ass off
yeah.
to show that something is changing, and it's not to be cliche. It had nothing to do with our why.
Okay? Right. Nor does it have anything to do with millennials.
Correct.
It has to do with learning and achieving and doing better at what you do.
The world is different. That's what we led with.
Yeah.
The world is different today. Your workforce, you cannot train a 2018 workforce using tools from the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we started from. And we dissected what are the things that we've always evolved. Hey, you know what? Somebody who has a Blockbuster card out there today?
Right.
Okay. Because of technology's movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to start from this place that the workforce is different. Jobs are changing. Just look at the type of jobs happening today. Look at what's going to happen to retail sales jobs in the next 10 years with, you know, your friendly robot.
right.
And then, so training's got to change. Like, it just made sense. We had to make that argument so simple that work is different, jobs are different, your training should be different. And then we had to move into the argument that our solution is something you should think about. And we've tried to keep it simple like that. Our sales force is always prescribed to a perspective that our goal on every play isn't to get the ball in the end zone, it's to get 4 yards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If we get 4 yards on every play, we'll put ourselves in a position to be successful.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, because the third down, you make the other four, you got a first down. But
I'm surprised you didn't bring up the Eagles.
I didn't. You did. Who cares? 41-33. What does that matter?
You have a tattoo of that yet or no?
No, but I'm getting one. Yeah, I know. She didn't want me to get one. But I'm getting the bird, you know, the old 30s logo.
Which bird?
The eagle.
Okay.
And fly eagles fly
Yay
underneath
needles.
Of it.
How are you going to do that?
I know. Anyway, I'm going to get it on my left arm so it won't hurt that much. But let me just throw this at you. You have all heard in every corporate training or of every leader, we want all of our people to be on the same page. We want them to talk as you know, to give our voice. Well, dude, if you gamify the training that you're looking to be able to convey and transfer, everyone automatically is on the same page. You don't have to ever say same page again because it's same information, same quizzes, same results, and you can see who's on the same page and who isn't by what their score is.
That's pretty cool. So
totally.
You had this hunch that gamification would work and lead to training. Were you surprised by any of the results?
Over 70% of the gameplay in our first year happened outside of 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Whoa.
Wow.
We had to staff up additional support on weekends. Okay. More than 9 to 5 Monday through Friday because the amount of gameplay that's happening on the periphery. So, you know, you have support issues. We've got to reset our password. We have a question on this. That was happening more on a Saturday and Sunday night than it was at Monday, you know, midday. And I think when you compare that to most things that companies, you know, force upon their employees and call it training or learning, some of those, you know, if you can create a world, like we said at the beginning, where employees opt in, mm-hmm. they want to do it. Then you got their attention. Mm-hmm. And from there, listen, we interact with a lot of people in the marketplace. And, you know, there are not a lot of people that are motivated to find additional tools. You know, Jeffrey, Jen, you do a phenomenal job with the training that's offered. I mean, from the Gittimer Learning Academy all the way through all the resources you all provide. I can tell you a ton of trainers I've interacted with who hide from new technology because of their own personal gain that's involved in it.
Right. They're a threat to their employment as much as it is to the edification of their own people.
And that's a shame because we live in a time when you have a workforce in trouble. You can't turn on TV without talking about jobs. I mean, it's a pretty American core value to think we want to build a workforce that's ready. And we have a lot of people out there that are not trying to live in a world not of abundance, and they don't think about how do we innovate. And that is why we have a number of companies that are still printing manuals all day long. Cool. Instead of investing in tools and resources that help their people get better from day one.
The interesting thing is if they want to make a change to a manual, it's going to take weeks to make the change and get it approved, and then however long to go print another 1,000 copies for their 1,000 employees. But if you want to make a change to the game and update it, what, yep. matter of seconds, minutes?
Oh, you can. I mean, you can spin up a game in under 5 minutes. You can change a
That's
game in
incredible.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Because as a
That's
manager, incredible. As a, again, back to my experience as a salesperson and a sales manager, if we had a new product come out, mm-hmm. I need my people to be ready this afternoon.
Yeah.
In a minute. Not next week when we finish designing or building or doing whatever we might be doing with whatever tool we're using.
I just realized something.
Yeah.
We're all Macs. Mac. Ever read a manual for a Mac?
No.
For a software program, to how to use your machine, to nothing.
I might YouTube a video.
Right. You
on
might Google
how
something.
Set something you up might, or
but,
whatever.
But they don't even come with manuals anymore.
Right.
Okay. We're used to no manual.
Mm-hmm.
Ever buy an IBM? Ever buy a ThinkPad?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. They come with a manual? You have no choice but to read that manual. You can't even turn the damn thing on. So that's where the dichotomy comes in, because the HR people grew up with a PC. Mm-hmm. And they think there needs to be a manual with everything, because that's how they learned. So if you have learned in that old school way, it's likely that you're going to think, shit, this is not going to work without a manual.
Sam, when you go to speak to people about your product, can you discern easily who is going to be receptive to games and who isn't, and how do you discern that?
There's always a few detractors in the room. So they're there. Yeah, I think that, again, it comes back. There's a group of people that have been doing it a certain way, and change is hard. And this is also why one of the things I've learned coming through our evolution, again, for anybody starting a company up out there, you know, it's cliche, but you go to the top. And we've found that, you know what, some organizations trust too much in certain people in their organization to make decisions that impact bottom line, and people impact bottom line. So the training that people are exposed to, the tools they invest in, you know, that might fall in HR in some organizations, that might fall into a director of learning or a chief learning officer in some, but it's on senior leadership, CEOs, C-suite to make sure that there is alignment with what they want to happen every day, driving revenue, increasing service experience, and the performance metrics for their executives. I would find that the companies, I've always been fascinated in 2 years doing this, that the people that get it, they get it quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ones that take a while to get it, there's something else happening there. We've always learned that. I think when we met, we spent 25 minutes together, and you know, Jeffrey and
we're
Jeff were talking.
We got it when we looked at the website, right, actually, before we met.
And if I didn't really like you, that was the hard part. We had
some things take time. Bingo. But you know, if you go through some of our clients that we signed, I mean, from Audible to ESPN to some organizations, they got it immediately because they come from a position of how do we get our people better?
And you cannot make it optional. The thing that we found about getting the Gittimer Learning Academy accepted and used is they made it mandatory. Mm-hmm. And at first, there might be some grumbles, but once they realize it's fun and it's easy, they'll do it. But if they hadn't made it mandatory to begin with, and that's a CEO. Yep. That CEO, you get to the C-suite, and he or she will say, we're going to do this. And they tell the learning person, or they tell the HR person, this is how we're marching. And if you don't have that mandate, you're going to lose.
Love it. So on the money, we've had, I cannot tell you what I think about when I hear that concern from some companies. Where
yeah, how do I know where
they're
going to
adopt
it?
Well, do you make them log stuff in CRM or do you make it optional?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you make it optional, I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't get
it. No one will do it.
Right. So it's the hard stuff. You got to do the hard stuff. Yeah. And since when did we become so afraid of the hard stuff?
You don't want to know my
answer. Plus, when people get it, they want to do it. That's the coolest
right.
part.
Yeah. Are they paying me to do this? Is that part of my pay? When's my compensation? And do I get sick days? That's the person you don't want.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so we meet all these people who have cool stuff, and then they don't use it internally. I'm curious to know how you train your people.
Yeah, so, I mean, we definitely, we drink our own Kool-Aid. So we have games that are up every day. Our organization, we do a few different things. So we're not just all on our platform. You know, we run workshops. We do training, right? We listen to podcasts.
Yes,
right?
We do.
A few ones I know that right here in the room. But we also, on a weekly basis, we have a certain number of games available. Our team has to play anywhere between 5 and 10 games a week. Games take less than 2 minutes. Those points add up, and they go towards a contest. So every Monday, we have a new contest that spins up. I think that 2 weeks ago, we did a contest where we did something silly where the losing team had to come in on Monday dressed as a basketball team, and we did stuff where winning team got lunch, and we've done a few different contests like that. But we have weekly contest, games up. We do a pretty cool thing where every Friday we put the whole team in the room and we do our multiplayer game, which is kind of like Cards Against Humanity,
mm-hmm.
but with sales role plays and service role plays.
Oh, cool.
So this last Friday, we did a service role play game led by Jared, our service director, and it was on the scenario of renewals. So we know we're coming up on a bunch of renewals on our platform, and we had a 25-minute game that we spun up at 9 a.m. on Friday. Team went through it, got right back to work.
That's all. And it's a fun break.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, I just had an idea.
Uh-oh.
I know. I think we should have a sell or die game.
Oh, hell yeah.
We can literally...
is what I meant to say.
Oh, sell yeah. So what you've explained to me is I can go in there and create a question in seconds. And so when we're interviewing our guests, we can come up with the questions on the spot.
Yeah.
And after our diehards listen to the episode, they can log into their app and take the game and compete for the biggest, best diehard.
I'm in.
That would be so fun.
We have some people that are going to be amazing, game-ready kind of people.
Yeah.
Like our five-time champion, Jeb Blunt.
That's right.
He would be.
How many times has he been mentioned and not been on an episode? That's what I want to know.
Well, we like him.
Let's look up that stat.
No, we like him. And we don't actually, don't say Sam Cauchi, but we do say One Huddle.
Yeah.
We don't mention.
We mention you guys sometimes.
It's all about the team in One Huddle.
Exactly. It's all about the team. And do they.
And your team's listening to this smiling, yeah. I bet.
We got a solid team. Listen, it's all about team.
Yep. Actually, everyone we've met from your company has been uber impressive.
Yeah. And speaking of teams.
Yes?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, man.
The stat should be how many times you mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles.
That would be a real stat.
That would be a fun stat. We should make that into the game.
I do want to say one thing. They had fun the whole season. They would pose after the game. They would do end zone dances together where they were fly, Eagles fly. When Zach Ertz caught that pass, or I forget which tight end caught the pass, but somebody flew out of the end zone as a team. They were a team that were having fun. They executed, they prepared, and they played all four quarters. And that's how they won that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They won. Now it's on to next season, though, Jeffrey.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
In some people's minds.
Yeah. Yeah, bring on the New York Football Giants. I think they're going to drop the word football from their... Anyway.
All right. This has been amazing.
Yeah.
Sam, thank you for returning to
my
our
pleasure.
Show.
Yeah, we're...
We are going to come out with the Sell or Die game.
And we're looking forward to having you back tomorrow.
I got to get up to Jeff. I'm chasing him.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff, you'll need three more shots and then you'll beat him.
Okay.
But in the meantime,
you should get a trophy for coming on again.
Exactly.
I mean, this is like major.
And
we'll
make
a badge.
I like trophies.
Yeah. We'll get you a trophy.
All right, cool.
And take care of your family and fly safe. And we will see you again before you know it.
Hey, wait.
What?
If people want to get the One Huddle game for their team, where do they go?
Need to go to onehuddle.co and we'll get
like
them all set up.
Like O-N-E or the number one?
The number one, Huddle. .co, C-O.
All right, we'll put that
D's
in the show notes as well.
Are there two D's in Huddle?
Two D's, we have a game
if
on
you,
that,
if
too.
If you don't know how to spell it, please Google.
Yeah, please. But I would download that app as fast as I could, get it to
you. Well, if you download it, you can't do anything with it.
You can take it to your boss and say, can we please have this?
Yep.
And they'll call Sam or Roger or somebody on
go.
The One Huddle team, and
go.
They can arrange for games for you, just like they've done for us.
Yeah, that's going to be so cool.
All right, now we can say goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that was a hell of an interview. I think that the friendliness, obviously the camaraderie in that interview shone through. We're not just business acquaintances, we are friends. And he understands the diehards, he understands the diehard process. And we are actually using his games in our training. And I think that I've always been the proponent of repetition leads to mastery. And when you play the game, you repeat. You automatically repeat. And with Sam's games, the right answer comes up even if you guess the wrong answer. Or even if you select the wrong answer. I don't want to say guess.
It becomes addictive. In a way, because in a good way, because you want to keep playing, and in the background, now you keep learning.
Like, dude, go to the iTunes store, everything in there's a game.
Well, speaking of addictive games, I don't want to get too personal here, but Jeffrey, you just recently gave up a few.
Yes, I was doing.
They were getting in the way
of life.
Life.
I was doing word bubbles and word cookies to a point where I had exhausted both games. Like, they couldn't come up with a new game fast enough because I always played to the end of the game.
Okay.
And I'm emailing them when's the next game coming up.
Yeah, I thought. Literally, I would see Jeffrey sitting there. I'm like, who are you emailing? He's like, no one. I'm like, what's going on? And he's emailing the creators of the game to be like, when's the next level coming out?
Right. I was frothing for the new game. And
it was so bad.
I kept looking for updates oh my God.
But it was so frustrating. I'm so glad you quit.
But
thank you, honey.
I quit and I regained at least an hour or two a day. And now because I don't play and I'm, like my finger goes to the button on my iPhone and now I go to a different button. I go to writing something or reading something that's productive for me. I have literally given myself back a couple of hours a day to concentrate on something that will earn money.
I don't want to confuse your word bubble addiction with a training addiction, because word bubbles, I'm sure, was fun for you. But
it's also intellectually stimulating. Anybody that plays the game knows that.
Well,
word
no,
cookies.
I think it's about the king of sales self-evaluates.
Yeah.
And that should tell you everything you need to know. You said, hey, there is this thing that is addicting, that's taking my time. What else could I be addicted to that could actually help me succeed?
And I also must tell you that in the process, it was not simply self-thought out. Jen had her foot up my ass. Gabrielle had her foot up my ass. And actually, Gabrielle and I would play the game together every once in a while, which made it even worse. But the bottom line was, I got the message after about a month worth of sort of chiding and self-evaluating, like, what should I do? And then one day, I just quit.
I was going to video them playing and then play the video, but I didn't have to.
Listen, games are part of the phone life now. Games are certainly the mainstream. You know, when you go to your iTunes store, it's about a game.
But imagine playing a game that can help you do your job better, that can help you make more sales, that can help you network better, that can help you get more referrals, whatever it is, that can help you grow. Okay, Word Bubbles is great mentally stimulating, but it's not really helping you grow in your career.
Word Cookies is better than Word Bubbles. Let's just get that straight right now. However, I'm converting that energy of game into creating games rather than playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking the experts at One Huddle and aligning myself with them and collaborating with them to give them information so they can create questions around the information that I have and make games available for everybody to learn more.
And all games and all entertainment are specifically designed, intentionally designed, to keep you wanting more.
Yes.
And so the question that you have to ask yourself is, okay, this thing makes me want to do it more. Is the thing that I'm getting out of it positive, mm-hmm. or is it nothing, like television?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and don't go too far on that, because some of the games on television have also become addicted and addicting. The Vanna White one,
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune is a big one, but the most addicting one is Jeopardy.
Yeah, people love Jeopardy.
Oh my God, Jeopardy is like, you have to know. You know, what is the Empire State Building? What, and you have to start with what is, or you don't.
Yeah,
you can't
out.
Just yell out the answer. They have trained you to put the answer in the form of a question. Literally, they have trained you, and. It wasn't Alex Trebek that made it. Who was the first guy?
I don't know.
Anybody. Die Hard. Put it in
there. The Family Feud guy?
Come on, who
what
is?
What are you talking about? On
everyone,
Jeopardy?
Yeah.
I don't know. We can ask Siri.
Yeah, Siri will know. But it's not Alex Trebek. The first guy was way better than Alex Trebek. So go take a look at that. I watched
That's
it.
A pretty hot take. I'm not sure anyone's going to be on your first host, Art Fleming.
Art Fleming. Right.
I'm not sure many people are going to hop on that train that Fleming was better than Trebek.
Oh, Trebek's totally better than, because he was cool about it. Alex Trebek has he's got a pipe up his head.
He stopped hosting it before I was born, so sorry.
Who, Art Fleming?
Yeah.
Oh my God. here's the bigger trick. Here's the bigger.
He stopped hosting
here's the
it
bigger
in
trivia
the
question.
70s.
Who invented the game Jeopardy?
Ooh.
Answer: Merv Griffin.
Who is Merv Griffin?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't in the form of a question.
Oh my God. Who is,
come on.
Who is Merv Griffin? But he also invented Wheel of Fortune.
Oh.
Ooh, and the match game. And he was like a game creator.
That is pretty cool.
Had his own show, the Merv Griffin Show, like Johnny Carson.
It's amazing that it's taken so long for games to infiltrate our lives in an educational way.
They're taking over.
You know, they've been everywhere, but they've never really been there for education. And now it's like, who wants to be educated without a game?
Or is the game being blocked by educators who fear for their jobs? I mean, that's, the training world is transforming right
mm-hmm.
now.
And no longer are you going to sit in a classroom for 8 hours and absorb a bunch of crap. What you're going to have are interactive lessons online, things that you can play that are fun, examples that you can use out on the street. And more, it's becoming less and less classroom-oriented and more live situation-oriented.
For sure. So, Jeffrey, we have this comment from a reader.
Yeah. Hi, Jeffrey, that one?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Hi, Jeffrey. Saw you in person in Charlotte a couple of months ago. Awesome. Correct. You're correct. Wanted to share a line with you that I've had luck with. My company provides high-end AV products and services strictly B2B. Often when I get a target on the phone, they will say that they're happy with their current provider, no thanks. My standard line is, you know, I loved my BlackBerry until I got my first iPhone. Would it be worth 10 minutes of your time to compare what we offer? Most laugh about, but 60% of the time, they give me the appointment. That's pretty damn cool. Cheers, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
That is freaking awesome.
Now, The best of the week starts Friday, and for those of you who are real diehards and listen on an everyday basis, Friday will give you the best of the best. So if you miss on a Wednesday or you miss on a Tuesday, dude, you're going to get it. We're going to give it to you. The best of the best compiled into one action-packed podcast.
And as you said earlier, repetition leads to mastery. So even if you didn't miss something, go hear it again. You might pick something new up from it the second time you hear it.
And we're happening on Motivation Monday also, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, but yeah.
Motivation Monday is becoming my go-to thing.
I love it. It's so fun. It's so fun.
Thank you very much, diehards. We're going to say goodnight, Gracie, correct?
Au revoir. I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling, which you should go out and buy as fast as you possibly can. And I'm challenging you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off. Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.